Right, that verse, Philippians 4:19. And this verse will get us through this section on giving and receiving. Verse 19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you don't have to assure us as you do, but you do. You give us promises. You tell us, Lord, you will do something. You have put your name and your word on the line to us today. Your word tells us that you will supply all of our needs. And Lord, we have needs that we cannot in ourselves supply. And I pray, Lord, that we would today take this to heart, that you have comforted our soul and told us that you will do this. And Lord, we are banking on your word because you would have us do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Put yourself in the body of a newborn baby. I remember it well. The day I was born, I remember thinking, what the heck just happened? It was all warm, and then I was in January in a hospital, and it was no longer warm. And also, I asked the question, did I just get spanked for no reason that on the day of my birth? I don't know if they still spank babies when they birth them, but I'm sure they did then. And hello, I'm naked. I have no clothes, and I can't put any on anyway, even if I had them. If you laid the clothes next to me as a newborn, I could not do anything with them. Spit up on them. Nothing else. I can't walk, talk, pull up, sit up, or throw a softball. I have absolutely no foreseeable path to survival. And while I was in that state of confusion, on that day, an intervention took place. My 22-year-old mother intervened. She got me food, clothes, funny hats and shirts, chewable toys, stuffed animals, and popcorn. She provided for my needs. I remember she was very anxious to do so. People came to the hospital to see us and wrote in a book congratulating my mom for such a pretty young man, having just been born. And she provided. The Lord is infinitely beyond the most loving mother. Isaiah 49, verse 14, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord replies, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The Lord, infinitely more loving. And mothers love, but not all mothers. But even the most loving mother, the Lord is way beyond in love. Paul, we're told, coming into this last verse, has been in his life in need and in bounty. He has had a lot, he's had nothing. Sometimes the money was there, sometimes the provision was there, and he was full of provision, supply. But then there were other times he was in need. And he learned to be content in whatever situation he was in. God's provision comes from people. God does not directly deposit money into our account. If we get money, we work for it. But the provision comes through people. Now, I know some of you want a money tree in the backyard. And here in the fall would be a great time to have a money tree. It all just drops right on the ground. You just go out and pick it up. But God doesn't provide for us through money trees. He provides for us in this world. The Philippian concern existed for Paul independently of their opportunity. They wanted to give to Paul when they couldn't. And when they could, they did. And when they did, Paul tells us that he was amply supplied. Verse 18, the verse preceding this, that he was full now. He was had an abundance, and that their giving was as pleasing to the Lord as a sacrifice for sin in the old covenant, where they were appeasing God and pleasing God and being at peace with God in looking forward to the sacrifice of Jesus through that sacrifice. Well, this is, Paul says, like that, something that pleases the Lord. So the simple question is, will the Lord supply my needs? I have needs. Will the Lord supply those needs? Went to a couple of days, I think, seminar once. And the teacher, the preacher, said some preachers depend on God overmuch for their sermon preparation. And they claim the verse, open wide your mouth and he will fill it. So they didn't have to study. They had to prepare. They could just open their mouth and the sermon would come out. And he said, yeah, he'll fill it with air. Not words. We have a duty. Christians have a duty to meet the needs of what God provides, of what God wants to give money to. Missionaries go out. They don't go to God directly and say, Lord, I'm not going to go anywhere else. I'm just going to ask you for it. And I see, they go churches to church to church to church to church. They want people to pray. They want people to give. Without that, nobody goes. So let's look at the core promises first. And this is a promise that we see in verse 19. But first, the Lord, and not the world, by the way, but the Lord places us above birds and flowers. Now, the world places birds and flowers above us. You can kill babies, but they don't want you messing with flowers and birds. But the Lord puts us above all that. Matthew 6, verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory clothe himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is a flat-out promise, instruction. That's why you never get birds knocking on your front door saying, could you spare a little food? The Lord is feeding them. And they dress the grass of the field prettier than a lot of our dressings. The Lord clothes them. And he says if he does that to them, why would he do more for you? Why wouldn't he do that for you? Well, you have little faith. The Gentiles seek that. The Gentiles, meaning the unbeliever, has no hope in God. No basis for confidence in God. It's all on them what they provide. So there is all this eager seeking, worry and stress to provide. And yet, our Father knows we have need of these things. So we're to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is a promise. We have explicit promises of God's care. People love to hear promises. It's why politicians make them. People love to hear them. Politicians don't like to keep them. But a promise is a good thing. I promise. And then something is promised and it assures you. It's intended to do that. Hebrews 13:5 says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. So that means that he is aware of our need for money. We should not have a character that loves money and being discontent, because the Lord clears that as a problem by his faithfulness. He gave us Jesus Christ. Paul brings this out in Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He gave us his son. His son came to die for us, to suffer for our sin. And the Father gave him willingly. It was planned from eternity. And he came. And Paul says, if he did that, will he not also with him freely give us all things? He's already inclined to give us all things in Christ. Now, we won't know it all here. Ephesians 1 talks about it, what we have. We're not there yet, but it's been given. The Lord does not and cannot lie. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? You see, that is a promise. And when God makes a promise, it's based upon his character. He's not like a man who can lie. But he is God who cannot lie. And Paul is writing this as a promise. Paul, we know from Scripture that Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And when Paul here says that God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, he is stating something under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's not giving new revelation, though. He is applying the nature of God to us about himself, about God himself. God is this way. Therefore, this is what God will do. Secondly, God's bountiful provision. Now, I'm going to divide this verse up into five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And we'll start with the first two words, my God. Doc, you may remember Doc's sermon on Psalm 23. He told a story of a young boy who knew the Lord but was dying. He was in his deathbed. And he would get a lot of pain, and he would have a lot of discomfort, and he would have a lot of anxious thoughts. And they told him that he should say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And so he would do that. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. But he got to where he couldn't talk. So they told him, why didn't he just, use his fingers? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And he was singing, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And when he died, they found his hand on this my, holding that. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, this is my God. This is the person behind all the provision. That's the Lord. Now, you have a need. You've got Medicare, say. Do you ever say, my government will supply all my need? No. Do you ever say, my insurance company will... No. Your insurance company, frankly, is hoping you die before they have to pay any more on you. My God is a personal and living God. He doesn't even say you're not your God. Your God. It's the God that Paul knows. The God that Paul has a walk with. The God that Paul knows by experience. And that my God is the focus. Since I'm a diabetic, my grandmother made me fried apple pies. You've heard about this. Fried apple pies are good. Homemade fried apple pies are even better. And what the best of all is, homemade fried apple pies that are made with my sweetener and my name by toothpick is attached to those pies and the plate they're in so that no one else can get them. Those are my. And my aunt would go over there and she'd see that name and she would growl, "Arr, Scott. That was a special thing my grandmother would do for me." Now, looking back, I don't think it was any less carbohydrates than any of the other stuff, but I liked it. Those were mine. My God, personal, loving. He's our God first by creation. More intimately, by redemption. We have a special relationship with our God. There are wives here, but there's my wife right there. Raise your hand there. There's her. It's a personal, loving relationship, unique and trustworthy. The second, then, is shall supply. My God shall supply. Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham had been told that Isaac was the heir. That Isaac was going to be the one who followed on and brought the seed on it from him. And so he just figured that, well, if God wanted to kill him, wanted him to sacrifice him, he was going to raise him from the dead after. But Isaac was wondering when they went to the place of sacrifice where the lamb was. Abraham said in Genesis 22:8, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. God will provide. In verse 14, when he did provide, Abraham called the name of the place the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Our God is one who provides. He is the faithful God. The Lord sent ravens to provide for Elijah. 1 Kings 17, verse 4, it shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Ravens. Our daughter did not want her food to touch each other on the plate. Did you have a child like that? Potatoes? Can't touch the peas. Can't touch the chicken. Ravens are dirty birds. And they were bringing, that's how God provided for Elijah. The Lord provided water from a rock for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Behold, I stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. They drank water from a rock. The Lord provided bread from heaven and quail. In the manna was the bread. And Psalm 105, verse 40, they asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water flowed out. It ran in the dry places like a river. In Psalm 114:8, who turned the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a fountain of water. The Lord providing. My God shall supply. This is God's will and promise and his power to do so. Thirdly, all your needs. My God, one, shall supply, two, all your needs, three. There are two guiding concepts here, all and needs. We are accustomed to having, when we eat, all we need. And then we have leftovers. So that means we had all we needed, and we had more than we needed. And that's typically the way the Lord does. But he is saying here that he will provide all your needs. Let's start with the needs part. Now, the needs part is not, you know, a lot. 1 Timothy 6:8, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. So food and covering is enough to keep us alive. Is the basic needs. A true need is what we cannot live without. Needs are contrasted with wants and desires. Now, a young man may think that he cannot live without a nice truck, but he can. A need is what we cannot live without. A want is, you know, extra. And God has promised to provide for our lives as long as we live. He doesn't promise that we'll live forever. He doesn't promise he's going to fix all the sicknesses we have. He doesn't even promise that we won't at times be hungry. But he promises, for as long as we live, to meet our need to continue living, to be sufficient for our lives. All refers to whatever God knows we need. All that we need. Some I've heard women say that they need chocolate. Chocolate is a need. You should go in the hospital. If you're having a baby, they should hook up an IV of chocolate right into your body, because it's a need. Well, it's a want. You may be approaching a need sometimes, but a need is life-saving. God is well acquainted with our situation. Psalm 139. Verse 1, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. The Lord knows everything about us and everything we need. If you get help from an agency, you have to fill out a form and tell them what your need is. You have to tell them what your situation is, what your finances are, what your sickness problem is, why you can't afford to pay for whatever it is they say you need to have that fixed. And that goes on and on. And they're endless. The Lord knows already what it is we need. As a loving Father, He aims to supply all our needs, and He has promised to do so. He's not stingy, but bountiful, and lavishes His goodness on us. At Columbia Bible College, we were at the cafeteria. They had good cafeteria food at the college when we were there. I understand before we got there, it wasn't that good. And maybe it went bad after. But while we were there, it was good. Mr. Level, he was good. But I have to say this, they were stingy. In the morning, I was a strapping young man. I got in there and, give me scrambled eggs. I don't want a couple of scrambled eggs. I want 18 scrambled eggs. Slap them on the plate. I'll hoist it back over to the table and eat them. Oh, that's it. Some grits, which weren't really grits like I make. Put those on. And they were stingy. The Lord isn't that way. And I know they had to be that way because they had a budget. But the Lord is bountiful. He lavishes His goodness on us. All your needs, fourthly, according to His riches in glory. According to His riches in glory. The week before, Michael Jordan called me up and wanted to have lunch. I said, okay. You remember this. So I go, and Michael Jordan, and we had a nice lunch over at the Mexican place. And he said, Scott, let me pay for this. And I think part of that was because he is worth like $2 billion. And I said, Michael, I will let you do that. Because Michael, by paying for our lunch, was not in any way bankrupting himself. So he paid for our lunch. On the way out, I mentioned that I wouldn't mind having a Dodge Charger, and he wouldn't buy that. But the lunch he got. But this, according to His riches and glory, refers to the supply itself. That God has the supply. It is not an empty promise. There's an Alan Jackson song. None of you probably know, where he says in the song to a girl, I'll buy you tall, tall trees and all the waters in the sea. Do you think he can do that? He couldn't even get a one tall tree, probably. All the waters in the sea, you go get a cup out of the water, the sea. God's riches are in the bank. They are there to be given out. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. The Lord owns the whole world. So according to His riches in glory, He provides all your needs. His riches are in glory and subject to transfer to earth. The Pope claims this in Catholic history. The Pope claims to govern the Bank of Heaven, the Bank of Merit. And the Pope can write a check on the Bank of Merit in Heaven to apply to someone on earth who does penance or gives to the church or whatever. But there is no such power by the Pope. And there's no such bank in Heaven of Merit. Other than that, But the Lord does transfer from his riches in glory to those in need. And those riches are sufficient for every need we have and every need that anyone will ever have. Fifth, in Christ Jesus. This refers to God's special care for his children. God does not provide the needs of others in Christ Jesus. God does provide the needs of others, but not in Christ Jesus. When it says we're in Christ Jesus, he is saying that he is targeting his children, especially for this. His children, one of the benefits of being his children is that he provides for that. One of the benefits I had being a grandson to my grandmother was she cooked, and we went there and ate breakfast. We ate lunch there often, and she could really cook. I mean, she could really cook. Greasy, but that's what made it good. And we walked in, and we sat down, and there was always an ample supply. And this is the way the Lord is toward his children. In Christ Jesus, see, the Lord lavishes upon us. If you look in Ephesians 1, I mentioned earlier, all the things the Lord has lavished upon his children because he's that kind of God. He doesn't give us something and say, well, I shouldn't do this, and I want you to feel bad about it because you don't deserve it. He lavishes it upon us. In Christ Jesus, we are his favorites. We are like Jesus because that's how we are in God's favor, by being in Christ Jesus. So his special love is toward his people in Christ. Some kids get spoiled in a bad way because they're given everything and they don't really appreciate it. But God spoils us in a good way. So along with all our spiritual blessings, the Lord provides our physical needs that he sees we have and things that we need. Finally, what is the impact? Knowing this, how should we be affected? First, don't mix God with Elon Musk or Bill Gates or any of these rich guys. People are always telling the rich people how they should spend their money, how they shouldn't have as much money and all this stuff. And that's up to them to do with their money. They earned it. They can have it. But don't think that, you know, God deals with money the way that rich people deal with money. God dispenses his money as is right in his eyes, in his will. Rich people don't always do that. And it's required of us to be faithful. We have several plants that we keep at our house. Some on the deck, one in the front. We had some at the mailbox. And one way to approach that was to say, well, we'll just let God water them. Let me just tell you by experience, sometimes God doesn't water plants. And they die. So we water plants. If we have plants, you're supposed to talk to them too, I think. If we have plants, well, then we have to water them. And so we do. As long as we remember, it's required of us to be faithful. So the impact is that we're to be faithful and to also trust in the Lord, to claim his promises. On a wedding day, promises are made. I know you girls are never getting married. That's still true? It's not as sure, Mike, as they used to be. If you do, you'll make promises. And I'll love you forever. I'll love you forever. No, I said I'll love you. No, I'll love you forever. And so you'll make promises. And that's because, you know, that is what brings trust. You claim those promises. I believe you. Therefore, you can have joy in your marriage. Remember, this whole section is rejoice in the Lord. And it's also an answer to anxiety when we trust in the Lord. So will the Lord provide? It says he will. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Pretty plain. When I was in college, I left to go to college, many of you know, in a 1956 International pickup truck, pink and white. It was changed out after, I think, a quarter at Columbia Bible College. It was changed for a 1973 Volkswagen Squareback baby blue with a CB radio installed. I wanted a CB radio, and I had one at home and in the car. What technology could ever go farther than a CB radio in a car for communication? That's what I thought. My dad was very gracious to me, and he provided that car, which is much newer, much more gas efficient, and had a CB radio, which my International did not have. And I was very thankful. Although in later years, I'm thinking, boy, I would like to have that 1956 International pickup truck again. But that was a great provision from a great dad who was very gracious to me. Let me read you again what we just learned. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, you're good to us, and we would often treat you like a politician that won't keep his promises. But Lord, you are not that. You are our God. You're my God. With your rich supply and bountiful care for your people. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.